ماتت 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 يا الله. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of this universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I will just discuss one topic, and that is the importance of unity in Islam. Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla commands us, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Hold on firmly to the rope of Almighty Allah, all of you. So whether we are in Malawi, South Africa, Europe, America, Kenya, wherever we are, we all need to hold on to the rope of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla, and we need to forge this unity and solidarity. وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. And do not cause fragmentation. Where will this unity start from? This unity will start from our own homes. When you see the husband and wife, many of us here are married. How united are we? When we look at the divorce rate of the Muslim Ummah, we see it is spiraling out of control. So that is an indictment upon us that we are not living up to what Islam teaches us. So we need to rectify the home environment first and ensure we are enhancing the marriage. Therefore the Quran Kareem states, Hunna libasul lakum wa antum libasul lahun, that they, the wives, are the garment and the clothing for you, and you are the clothing and garment for them. Meaning marriage is a partnership, is not a dictatorship. Today some of us husbands, we think it is a dictatorship. Do this, do this, do that. And if the wife does not agree, we just want to divorce. So we are causing fragmentation, disunity in the rank and file of the Ummah. Let's take three examples. Number one, in Medina Munawwara, there was a masjid, and it was called masjid in the Quran. وَالَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا مَسْجِدًا ذِرَارًا. The people, hypocrites, they built the masjid, but the aim of the masjid was to cause mischief, kufra wa tafriqan bain al-mu'mineen, to propagate disbelief and to cause fragmentation, disunity in the rank and file of the Muslim. They came to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace be upon him, Ya Rasulallah, read salat here. Nabi alayhi salam said, I am preparing for Tabuk. When I come back, I will consider your request. When Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam returned, the ayat was revealed, La taqum fihi abada, don't go stand there. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent the sahaba, the companions radiallahu anhum, and they burned the masjid. A masjid was burned, but remember the unity of the Muslims was not compromised. Second one, the Quran Kareem, the holiest book in the world, the holiest scripture. In time of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu an, Islam is spreading wild like fire and going everywhere. Some people read the Quran in this way, some read the other way. So there was fear that there will be civil war, because people will say, you are reading it wrong, I am reading it correct. They came to Amirul Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Uthman, and said, Ya Amirul Mu'mineen, you better intervene. He organized and arranged a panel. The Quran Kareem was written in the Quraysh dialect. All the Qurans that were there in Medina Munawwara, he burnt it. If you want, this incident is mentioned in Bukhari Sharif. I ask you, why did Sayyidina Uthman burn the Quran Kareem? To protect the unity, solidarity of this Ummah. So we have an example, a masjid burnt in the time of Habiballah, the master Nabi alayhi salam. We have Quran Kareems being burnt by great, great Sahaba like Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu. Another example. Now, mashallah, we are sitting in Malawi Sun Hotel, and now your wife cooked a meal, or she told you to order a meal, and you told her that, okay, I will adhere to your request. I will exceed your request. So you ordered that cereal or that dessert or whatever, and it did not turn out to be nice. So you told her, oh my darling, oh my sweetheart, what beautiful dessert this was. But you, when your wife is not looking, or you just told her you're going to the bathroom and you vomited everything out. But you did that just to please your wife. So Islam says you did a wonderful good action. You went to the barber and the barber made a mistake and gave you a funny haircut. When the wife looks at the husband, then the husband looks like a small clown. But she says, husband, you're looking so handsome today, even more handsome than our wedding day. So you must remember that that also Islam said is permissible. Because you are bringing about unity between husband and wife. Ramadan Mubarak is starting next week, Friday night, inshallah. In time of Nabi alayhi salatu salam, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, people used to read Taraweeh, one group day, one day, one day, one day. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu saw all this. He said, this is going to cause harm to the ummah. He appointed Ubay bin Ka'b. He said, Ubay, you perform radiallahu anhu the imamat. He told the people, all of you, you must read behind the imam. Quantity-wise, less Quran was being read. But unity-wise, the ummah was enhanced. What lessons we learn? So each one of us must think, am I enhancing the unity of the Muslim, or am I causing fragmentation, discord? Last night in the masjid, I'm going to repeat it again. When I speak to the men, I call it 7 prescriptions. When I speak to the ladies, I call it 7 recipes. And I'm going to give it to you and see how we can bring about that unity. Do we make salam with everybody? Mufti Sahib is here, Maulana is here, you are there. Do we make salam? How many of us are in the same masjid, in the same locality, but we don't greet one another? We see one another, we'll turn the face. First prescription, Nabi alayhi salam said, أَوَلَا أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ شَيْءٍ أَلِذَا فَأَلْتُمُوهُ تَحَابَمْتُمْ أَفْشُ سَلَامَ بَيْنَكُمْ. Make salam amongst one another. If you make salam and greet one another, Allah will unite the hearts. Did you make salam to your wife? Oh wife, did you make salam to your husband? So Nabi alayhi salam taught us, we come home, as-salam qabla al-kalam, before we speak, make salam. The house is built with hands. The home is built with hearts. And Daras Salam, the home of peace and tranquility, is built with Assalamu Alaikum. Imagine the beauty of Islam. Second one, Tahaddu Tahabbu. Give gifts to one another. When last did you give a gift to your wife? Wife, when last did you give a gift to your husband? Brother, when last did you give a gift to your neighbor? Think about it. You want to join this ummah? You want this ummah to be a dynamic ummah? Then we need to do that. So that is what Nabi alayhi salam said. Tahaddu tahabbu fa innal hadiyata tuzhibu dhagha'in. You know, there's a person, his name is Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, the giant. Go read his life history. Qissatu Umar wal A'rabi. A person from the Bedouin, the village, he came right to the house of Sayyidina Umar. He took a U-turn, he went away. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu saw him and he sent someone go summon and call the brother. They called him. He said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, please give me permission, I want to go. He said, I am the Amir, I am the leader, I am the president of the country, everything. You must be here, you must tell me. You came here for some need. And you went away. I can't allow that. He said, seeing that you're imposing it upon me, I will speak to you. You see, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, in English I say, that he told his wife a few words, and the wife told him many paragraphs. That he told his wife a few things, and his wife gave him a tongue lashing. She spoke to him in a rough tone. When he came here to complain about his wife to Sayyidina Umar, he heard Sayyidina Umar's wife giving Sayyidina Umar a tongue lashing. He said, what will this Amirul Mu'mineen help me? He himself is in a bad condition, worse than me.
So Sayyidina Umar asked him, who washes your clothes? He said, my wife. He asked him, who looks after your children? He said, my wife. He asked him, who cooks your food? He said, wife. He said, who cleans your home? He said, wife. Say, subhanallah. There's one woman and so many portfolios. So give her the chance sometime to speak also. Who is, remember this question, my dear brothers, who is the intelligent husband and who is the unintelligent husband? You see, our wives, sometimes they take the mobile phone and they speak, and we end up paying the account. So when they are speaking, so now the husband got angry, very upset. He told his wife, shut up, keep quiet. That's a sign of an unintelligent husband. The intelligent husband told his wife, oh my honey, oh my sweetheart, you look so beautiful with your mouth closed. Madad, madad, madad,
ya Allah. If everything happens according to the will of Allah, then if a person commits sin, for example, adultery, theft, it is Allah who is making him do these things because he wants it to happen. Is this true?
Someone came to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala and asked Sayyidina Ali radiallahu I don't understand destiny, taqdeer, fate. He was standing. Sayyidina Ali told him, lift up your one leg. He lifted it up. He said, lift up your other leg. He said, no, I can't do it. So why when a person goes for Hajj, a person reads Salat, he does good deeds, he never says, Allah made me do it. But when he does wrong, now he wants to attribute that to Almighty Allah. So we must remember that that is the wrong way. وَمَا أَصَابَكُمْ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. When you do a calamity, falls you, it's your own doing. So yes, Almighty Allah gave you the freedom of choice. I got this bottle, I got this glass. So you must remember in this glass, you can put water, you can put alcohol. The choice is yours, the choice is mine. So when we make the choice, now you can't go blame Allah. Allah did not impose it upon you. You made it with your own choice. So we need to understand that to apportion the blame to Allah is not acceptable.
My wife has given birth to a baby girl. Her relatives have put some black beads around her waist, around her wrist, which they say will protect her from an evil and nazar. Is this Islamic or just another custom?
This is a custom. All of you who got children, mashallah, read the four quls, qul ya kafirun, qul wallah, qul al falaq, qul nas, read Ayatul Kursi. If you know this dua, you can ask Maulana Mufti Sahib, they'll write it out for you. He's mentioned in Bukhari Sharif. Nabi alayhi salatu salam said, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam used to read this for his sons, Nabi Ismail, Nabi Ishaq alayhi salatu salam. I read it for Sayyidina Hassan, Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhuma. A'udhu bi kalimati Allahi tamma, min kulli shaytanin wa hamma, wa min kulli aynin lahma. It's the best dua to read for nazar and eye and so forth. So, أَعُوذُ بِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ تَعْمَّا. Allah, I seek your protection from your complete words. مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْطَانٍ, from every Satan, وَحَامَّا, and from everything harmful, poisonous, وَمِنْ كُلِّ عَيْنٍ لَامَّا, and from the evil eye. So, this is the dua mentioned in Bukhari Sharif.
Are the women allowed to go to the universities that is prevailing for education at this point of time, where there is co-education and intermingling, and there are male teachers? If not, then it's very important for the society to have female doctors and female teachers for treating and teaching females. But there is neither any place to be educated, especially learning medicine, being in the fold of perfect Islam, nor there is any workplace without any male colleagues to practice in. How is it supposed to be done at this moment of time? Are the male allowed to go to such universities of co-education?
JazakAllah to the sister who said the question, very interesting and very good question. Number one, Islam is not against education, remember that. Second one is this, but Islam says we must not compromise on our iman, our faith, our haya, our shame and modesty. So you know in South Africa, where I come from, they have a university called UNISA. Today UNISA has got
one of the largest amount of students in the world, correspondence. I myself study through UNISA some courses. So we must remember, you want to study? So no one says you can't study. Study through correspondence, in the comfort of your country, in the comfort of your home. If you want to do a specialist course, for example, like medicine and so forth, and you are a female, obviously we say that we need female doctors, female gynecologists, all this. So today, if you go to Malaysia, you go to Pakistan, so you will find places where you can study. But how much are we prepared to make the sacrifice also? So the point here is this, Islam is not against your studies. Islam says you study, but we need to look at the environment where you study also. I go and lecture in Wits, I go and lecture in Cape Town, you must see the questions they ask me. So Islam does not allow that we go to such an environment where there is so many problems, drugs, there is so many problems, boy and girl, so many girls are pregnant. So obviously Islam would not allow that.
What is the right way to get a wedding ceremony done? Are the following allowed? Printing cards for it and rukhsati function.
Remember Nabi alayhi salam said, A'linun nikah, announce the nikah. So if you send a card out or something, it's fine, there's no problem. But our problem is what? We have to show what back balance we got. So our card must have lot of trimmings and all those things, you know, gold and whatever. So when we want to show off, then there are problems. Second one is that you want to have rukhsati and all that, it's fine, there's no problem. But remember that today our nikahs, they take place two ways. One is lay-by, I don't know if you call it lay-by in Malawi, deposit, you know. And one is cash. I get married, I take my wife and I go. And I took her straight to Karachi, so you must remember 1 year we stayed there after we got married. And some of you get married, then you say, no, come collect your wife after 3 months and 6 months. We call it lay-by marriage, you know. Bichara, the chap, instead of making tasbih of Fatima, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, he's making for real tasbih, Fatima, 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 Jamila, Jamila, Aisha, Aisha. So you must remember that that is not a good practice today. If that husband and wife, you know, cause so much turmoil, so rather quickly you send the girl and she gets married and stays with the husband and all these things here. I'm not saying it's not permissible, but remember it is better that we get them staying together as soon as possible.
Is it allowed in Islam to cut lemons or chickens as a sacrifice and then throw them in the river?
In Islam there's no such thing of cutting lemons and all these things here. You must remember that. So in ilaj, if you have somebody is sick and all that, use what Quran says. Honey fihi shifa'ul linnas. In Islam we got ma'u zamzama lima shuriba lahu, zamzam water, da'u mardakum bi sadaqa, give charity. So we should not be creating suspicion in the minds of people and then we create problem for Muslims and so forth. Obviously that will not be permissible.
What's the difference between Sunni and Tablighi?
We must remember that people who practice on the Sunnah, you call them Sunni. We believe in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we believe in the actions. Opposite the Sunni, you have Shias. The Shias, they don't accept Sahaba, majority and so forth. So that is one way of explaining. Tablighi will be those people who engage in the work of Dawah. Now the lesson we must learn is this. Each one of us has to give the deen to the people. Study the history of Malawi. So you had a time in Malawi when 70-75% were Muslim. Now you got a time when it's 30-40%. So who's going to take Islam to the non-Muslims? So when you take Islam to the non-Muslims, that is called tabligh. When you go and remind the Muslims, that is called tadhkir. Wadhakir fa inna dhikra tanfa'ul mu'mineen. So reminding the Muslims. So we, whatever job we are doing, don't look down upon other person. I'm doing welfare work, I'm helping the poor needy, alhamdulillah. Another person is writing books, alhamdulillah. Another person is doing something, as long as it's permissible. We must supplement one another, not compete with one another. That is the message I gave you now. Learn to unite. Now what we do, me and you, majority of us, I joined this party, I say only this party is right, everybody else is wrong. You are all wrong, only I am right. This is not what Islam teaches. Islam teaches us that there are multi-compartments, multi-departments. So you join one, alhamdulillah, encourage others to do other work. So that is what Islam teaches.
Can the parents force their daughter to marry a person she doesn't love, knowing the girl is in love with another baby, with another boy?
A lady, her father got her married to another person, man obviously. She came to Nabi alayhi salatu salam, said, Inna abi zawwajani, my father got me married to this person, wa ana kariha, I dislike it, I don't want to get married to this person. Nabi alayhi salatu salam said, if you can don't want to get married, then even your father can't force you. So what she did, look at the intelligence of the lady. She called the ladies and said, oh ladies, this is the right Islam has given you, but still I will get married. Why I went to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? To show you this is your right. And why I was still get married? Because my father wanted I should get married here. So she showed both ways. So what we must remember, when a girl is aqila, baligha, she is sane and mature, so then the father cannot impose upon her, she must get married here, must get married. And why you want to get married, she must get married there? Most of the time we want our daughter to get married. What I told you yesterday, if I come with a Nissan or Toyota, you tell me you want to make istikhara. If I come with my Mercedes, Cadillac or BMW, be my wife, then you say take my daughter. So even then we looked at money and made that the criteria. So that is not the right to Muslim.
Is it permissible to use perfume that contains alcohol?
That's fine, no problem with that. If you want the academic discussion, open Takmira Fatil Mulhim, the third volume, and you will find the discussion there.
Is it permissible to work in a firm that deals in interest?
Today 99%, 80%, 90% of the companies have interest. So what we should do is this, look at the core activity of the company. The core activity of the company is permissible, so then we will say your income is permissible. I'll give you 2-3 examples. If that company is involved, for example in pornography, or in gambling, or alcohol, so obviously it's haram, we can't work there. But if that company is involved in mining, is involved in property, is involved in engineering, but they are dealing in interest, they got interest accounts and this, so we will say you can work there, your income is halal. The sin will be upon them and not upon you. So we need to remember, we are living in non-Muslim countries, so we're not justifying what they're doing, but we are taking majority into consideration.
There is a Tablighi book which says our Prophet does magic, not miracles. Is there any book of this sort?
Any person who says that is non-Muslim. Any person who says that is non-Muslim. Irrespective of who he is or she is. If a person says, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or any Nabi, does magic and not miracles, I give you from Quran. They used to make propaganda against Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, that he is running this whole empire with jadu, with magic, with sihr. What Quran said? Wama kafara Sulaiman. Allah didn't say Wama sahara Sulaiman. He said Wama kafara Sulaiman. Sulaiman alayhi salam did not commit kufr. Every Nabi is ma'soom. Every Nabi is protected from sin. To say this about the most beloved, the greatest of all time, all places, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how can a person say that? So that person, if he said it, he wrote it, is out of the fold of Islam.
Is hubbly bubbly, hookah or shisha haram? Please clarify.
You must remember that Nabi alayhi salam used to ask the people, istifti nafsak, ask your own heart. That is hubbly bubbly or shisha or hookah, three things. You waste money, إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ. Wasting money, you become the brother of shaitan, Quran says. Second one, لَا ضَرَرَ وَلَا ضِرَارَ. Abu Dawud's hadith, don't cause harm to yourself, don't cause harm to society. You see today, even in the planes, in the airport, they don't allow smoking, you know, because it is a menace to society, but they allow alcohol in the plane. That's the upside down, you know, so you must remember. But you ask the pilot, take the alcohol. He said, no. See the beauty of Islam. Go to the pilot and tell him, take this alcohol. He said, no, I'm on duty. So then they bring the alcohol to us. So we say, we on duty 24 hours. You got the answer? We say, we on duty 24 hours. We are the servants of Allah. We don't take all these things here. So that is the beauty of Islam. So you must remember this hubbly bubbly always not acceptable.
I have two children. One is in university,
and the other is in primary. Hence the requirements differ. Do I still have to give them the same amount of money?
No, definitely not. The one in university much more and the one in primary much less. So Islam says you must do justice, you must not favor. This is not favoritism, this is need and necessity.
If I have two wives, one has no children and the other has four children, do I still have to give them the equal amount of money?
You give them equal amount, but for the one who got four children, you have to give more for the children. MashaAllah, you got two wives. You know your brothers who got two wives, three wives, four wives. I always say one story. It's not Quran, Hadith, it's a story. The story goes, today is Qiyamah day, the angel came, he lined up all the men. He asked them, how many wives? He said, two. He said, Jannat. You, how many? Three, Jannat. You, how many? Four, Jannat. So all came, two, three, four wives, Jannat, paradise. I came, how many wives? They say, one. He said, no, you have to think about it. So I said, what do you have to think about? They say, no. So I said, I objected, why this person with two wives, three wives, four wives, you sent to Jannah? He said, they already saw Jahannam and the fire in the world. So I can't send them back to Jahannam. So the brother, mashallah, he wants to make justice. So one wife, so you give her the 1,000 kwachas, 1,000 rand. The other wife, you give her 1,000 rand, 1,000 kwachas. But for the four children, you have to give much more. So that is Islam.
Assalamu alaikum. If airlines can ban smoking on flights, so can they stop drinking alcohol on flights. With South Africa having a voice like Sanha and Jamia, I request they do this.
You must remember the alcohol industry in South Africa is one of the most powerful industries. So therefore they have ministers, all of them got shares and all that. So when they ban something, they have to ask the ministers, tojo ke to bhaga in me. Is it? Yeah. They have to ask the minister first. Tojo bhag ke to aai. Then the minister will say, no, I got small shares. They'll say, let's ban it. If I got big shares, he say, no, it's alright, let us carry on. So that is the world today.
Should we believe Allah has definitely planned our marriage date? What should we do for a good proposal?
Read Surah 25, verse 74. All of you who want to get married, who are married, read. Just now I did a program from here. So to South Africa, one person wrote, they phoned, and he said, I'm married for 25 years, the woman. I'm married for 25 years, and now my husband left me, and he got a hold of a woman who is 3 years older than my daughter. She's 17, 18 years old. So I replied, I said, the husband is old, but he's not cold. You see, so he's old, but he's not cold, and he got a young tat now. You know young tat. So he got the young one now, so now he left the old one. You know in English what they say, the new broom sweeps clean, but he forgot the old broom knows all the corners. When you get sick, the new broom, the new wife will make goodbye and go. The old wife will come and put zambak in the bade busti. So you must remember this. So all that you must remember, so those brothers here who got good wives, rather just stay with that wife there. Don't think of now, keep on young tat and all that.
Should we believe in the MJC halal stamp or only in Sanha?
Remember in South Africa, Allah have mercy on us. It's gone so bad, it's got so bad. Now, one organization, you took the other organization, Sanha, to court. In Ramadan, end of August, beginning September, they're going to court. So our answer on the radio and same advice, we have different organizations. You got confidence in MJC, you eat. You got confidence in Sanaa, you eat. You got confidence in Majlis, they say haram, you abstain. You got doubt, so rather abstain. So we must remember, we don't say, everybody must follow one organization. Whoever you got confidence in, you follow them.
Why isn't it allowed for women to thread their eyebrows?
First of all, go to Quran. When Almighty Allah expelled the shaitan, you shaitan, you don't make sajda to Adam alayhi salam, you get out. So on his way out, he took many qasams. وَلَأُذِلَّنَّهُمْ وَلَأُمَنِّيَنَّهُمْ in front. وَلَأَمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلَيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ I will command them, this human being, they will change the creation of Allah. Look at the men today, they want to wear earrings. Look at the woman today, they want to cut their hair so short. From the back we look, we don't know is Adam or Eve or Adam or Steve. So you must remember.
So all mix up. So now Allah created us with eyebrows. Now the woman, they saw Bollywood, Hollywood, Robin Hood. So now they want to make it like the actress. They want to make it like the princess. So all Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La anallahu namisa wal mutanammisa. The hadith in Sahih Muslim, the lady who does the therapy, beauty therapy, all salon and all that, and she does all the trimming, and upon whom it is done, both are cursed, because now you are changing the creation of Allah. That is the crime.
What does it mean if you see the writing of Allah on fruit, roti, or any other foodstuff? What does it mean?
Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, سَنُرِيهِمْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ. We will show you our signs on the horizons. We will show you our signs in yourself. So look at your human body. How many signs Allah gave us? So in the fruit, or in the food, or in other things, you see Almighty Allah's signs. So it is to show, حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُ الْحَقِّ. Only one haq, and that is all Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla.
I have small children, sometimes I swear at them and curse them. I don't mean it, what should I do?
Nabi alayhi salatu salam on the day of Eid said, Ya ma'ashara nisa, oh you group of ladies, tasaddaqna, tasaddaqna, tasaddaqna. Thrice Mustafa alayhi salam said, give charity, give charity, give charity, oh women. They asked, Ya Rasulullah, dad, why so many? So long hadith, in the ending, Nabi alayhi salam said, Takfurna al-ashir, that you are very ungrateful of your husband. Husband works, husband perspires, husband pays a debt, he does everything he gives. One day you make a mistake, the wife will say, you good for nothing, I saw no good in you. So that. They will tell us, ada and qaza. So this, they forget all the good. Nabi alayhi. Second one, وَتُكْثِرْنَ الْلَعْنَى. And you curse the people too much. You sisters, Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah used to wear a ring, جِرْمُهُ صَغِيرٌ وَجُرْمُهُ كَبِيرٌ. The size of the tongue is very small. The crime it commits is very big. Now you cursing your own children. Now Allah accepts that dua. That child now totally gone astray. So never use these kind of words, remember that. Always ask Allah for protection. You are angry, say, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Rajeem. So make wudu, make dua. Never curse your husband, children, anybody.
Can a Muslim woman visit the grave of a relative who died long ago?
Whether the person died long ago or died yesterday, for Muslim women, they cannot go to graveyard. Nabi alayhi salam's authentic hadith, La'anallahu zawwaratil kubur, mentioned in Sunan Nasai, Allah's curse is on ladies who visit the graveyards excessively. Another hadith, La'anallahu zairatil kubur. So for women to go graveyard is not permissible. From your house you make dua. We all miss our near and dear ones. So make dua, give charity, read salat, tilawat of Quran, and transfer the thawab to them.
In our Indian community in Malawi, there is a thing called Monday Friday, meaning that their daughter who is married, whether it's been 1 year or 10 years, she must come to eat at their place. Is this tradition or in our religion?
So you mean to say if my daughter got married from here and she got married in the long way, so every Monday she will come and every Friday she will come, so you must remember this type of thing. So obviously there's got no compulsion in Islam, there's nothing like that in Islam, but if she is in a hometown, there's no problem, but we must not consider it sunnah, we must not consider it compulsory.
Is racism allowed in Islam or not?
I give you three incidents. Listen, my brothers and sisters, I want you to understand this topic. Surah Hujurat, Surah 49, is called Surah Akhlaq, the chapter on character. Ya ayyuha nas, O people, O humanity, inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha, we created you from one male, one female, wa ja'alnakum shu'uban wa qabail, we made you into different tribes and nations and tribes. لِتَعَارَفُ. Some are Arab, some are Indian, some are Chinese, some are African, some are European. So all that, so that we recognize one another. Not for pride. إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. Indeed by Allah, the one who has the most honor is the one who has more taqwa. Now listen, my brothers and sisters, three incidents. Sayyidina Bilal رضي الله عنه is giving azan.
Then the Sahabi Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu came. Abu Dharr, proper Arab, fair in complexion. He said, Yabna Sauda, oh you son of the African lady, good thing my father didn't see you giving adhan. It was a derogatory statement. He heard Sayyidina Bilal. Sayyidina Bilal went to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, this is what Abu Dharr said. Abu Dharr was in serious trouble. Nabi alayhi sallam asked him, you said? He said, yes. His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Innakam lu'un lafika jahidiyya. Oh Abu Dharr, you are a person who got the habit of jahiliya, of the days of ignorance before Islam. That is what you are doing. Now Abu Dharr realized. He laid down flat on the ground and he told Sayyidina Bilal, take your foot, take your leg and put here on my chest. I beg apology, I beg your pardon, please forgive me. How we treat the people here. Think about it seriously. One, your mother, sisters, who breastfed Mustafa alayhi salatu wasalam? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's respected mother, Sayyida Amina radiallahu anha, Sayyida Halima radiallahu anha, Thuwayba radiallahu anha. Who was the fourth lady? The fourth lady to breastfeed Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, African lady, dark in complexion. Her name Baraka, her kunya and agnomen Umm Ayman. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, foster mother and African lady. Teach our maids, teach our employees. This is Islam. Allah makes it such. The king Khadimul Haramain Sharifain, something came, Allah alone knows. They call Sheikh Adil Kalbani. Sheikh Adil Kalbani is from Nigeria, African. If you study his family, they come here, they were taken. 20 years he was Imam in Riyadh. They called him, you can make Taraweeh in Makkah Sharif, in front of the Kaaba. One day Sheikh Sudais makes the dua, the next day Sheikh Adil, the African, makes the dua. 2 million people, 3 million people behind him, 27th night, 26th night, 29th night. And he's making Taraweeh. You see, if Allah wants to give you honor, so this is honor. They asked him, how you feel? You're the first African Imam in the past century to make Imamate. What do you think he said? He said, when I used to see on TV and all that, I'm there, I used to only dream, Ya Allah, when that day will come, when I can make Imamate. And then when he speaks, he just starts crying. This is Allah's mercy. He chooses who he wants to. So take this habit out, brothers, that we have to, our message, Islam for all for Islam. We can't, my Maimon is superior, your Gujarati is inferior, my Gujarati is superior, my Maimon. All this is the non-Muslims, they want to play, divide and rule, divide and rule, divide and rule. Arab superior, non-Arab inferior. Islam demolished, abolished all these things.
Please enlighten us on wearing trousers beyond our ankles.
Remember that the trousers, kurta, whatever it is, that the intention there is pride. So therefore it's prohibited in Islam. So what happens is, now you say, no, I don't wear for pride. So that only Allah knows. So Islam wants, we must not be people who are arrogant and proud. Therefore Islam is strict on certain things.
I run an orphanage. Can I use interest money to build concrete brick flooring in the yard at my orphanage?
It's your orphanage and now you have to do that. So you are using interest money for yourself. One day you decide to sell it, you will make the money. So that's not permissible. What you must do is just take the interest money, give it to the orphans, they can use it whatever they want to. They're poor. So you give it to any poor person, that's fine. But you can be benefiting from it directly.
I have excess zakat money in the orphanage account and I am limited to use the zakat money for wages, water, electricity. Someone suggested I convert zakat money to lillah by charging fees for every child and the fees received to be deposited as lillah. Is this correct?
What you must do is this, you must have a form. When the students or the yatim or the orphans come there to your madrasa or orphanage, so then they make them sign a form that whatever zakat is coming, you are the wakil. So you are the representative. When we got married, our wife did not come to the masjid. She sent the representative. So you are the wakil. So when I gave you 1,000 kwacha, 10,000 rain, 10,000 kwacha, so when you took possession, it's like the child, the student took possession. If they are poor, they're Muslim. So now you, your zakat is discharged. So then you stipulate a fee. You say that this 500, 1,000 rand, 1,000 kwacha, whatever, is the fee for this madrasa. So now they pay, and you use that money. If there's excess money, then you can use it for the wages and whatever you want to. So that is how you should do it. But make sure you have the form, and make sure that you don't have shortcuts going. So then it's fine.
I have invested the orphanage zakah and lillah money in the Sharia bank for a few years now, where profit is received for the orphans. Is this permissible?
Some ulama, they say with the Sharia bank it is permissible. I personally, everybody knows, I don't agree with it. Why I don't agree, I just give you 2-3 reasons. You see, you must remember that when you speak of Islamic bank or Sharia bank, now, 2 weeks ago or 10 days ago, a person phoned me. He said, I went to this bank, they said there will be 100,000 rand, no interest. Right? But then they say they will charge me 20,000, 50,000 figure agency fee. I said, now what you do, you go to the local bank and ask them what is the interest rate. So now they said, I said, work it out. So the agency fee they call in is the same interest rate. But they don't call it interest, they call it agency fee. Now, can you must deny the Korowai. I ask you, they're not playing fools, and what is this? So that's one. Second one, the ulama. Some of them are my students, some are my family, some others, but they all know. And I tell them also, you must remember, once you are paid, your fatwa becomes compromised. I am paid for, I don't work for any bank, I don't know. So you must remember that if ABC bank pays me, and now I have to give halal, they pay me 5,000 and 10,000 and whatever, a month. So isn't my position already jeopardized? If I give fatwa against them, what they'll tell me? Jazakallah, and you go. So I make gold mold this way, and pass fatwa of jais. Third one, study any bank, anyone in the world, Pakistan, Saudi, Malaysia, Europe, everywhere. Which one is predominant? Is the Islamic bank predominant, or is the capitalistic bank predominant? Which one is predominant? They all try and maneuver according to the normal bank. So therefore, we have serious problems with them. If you're comfortable, alhamdulillah, they are ulama. Some of them are very great ulama. But on this issue, I cannot agree. And wherever I go, I make it very clear. My channel Islam, when I say my channel Islam, I work there. They involve with this. But I tell them, if you prevent me from speaking these things, here's my resignation, I walk out. So you must remember, this is Allah's deen. Allah's deen is not for sale. We can't play with Allah's deen. So we must be very careful about these issues.
What are the grounds of divorce for a Muslim woman who has had no results from mediation from her in-laws?
You must remember, brothers and sisters, you see today, I told you, divorce is spiraling out of control. Now look at Quran. Just look at Quran. Husband, wife. The wife don't want to read salat. The wife is bad-mouthing the husband. The wife wear upside-down clothes. So Quran says, you husband, وَاللَّاتِ تَخَافُونَ نُشُوزَهُنَّ. So speak to your wife, فَإِذُوهُنَّ. Speak to her nicely, darling, sweetheart. That is فَإِذُوهُنَّ. That you speak to her in a nice, beautiful manner. She don't listen, second step, وَهَجُرُوهُنَّ فِي الْمَطَوَابِ. Separate the bed. Separate the bed, don't mean take a saw and cut the bed into two. It means that you sleep one side, she sleep, you don't fulfill the conjugal rights. 1 week, I'm not to, 2 weeks, I'm not to touch your. So she must reform. She still don't listen, وَضْرِبُوهُنَّ. وَضْرِبُوهُنَّ don't mean that you take a, your punch and start boxing her and take a belt and left. Vatribuhun means you take a swak and you just tap her. You take a ruler, that Uwais is playing with a ruler, you take a ruler and just tap her on the hand. Face, head, all that to hit is haram. You can't leave marks and all that. It's haram that. 3 steps so far, it don't help. Then you bring in the arbitrators. Quran.
وَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ شِقَاقَ بَيْنِهِمَا فَبْأَثُوا حَكَمًا مِنْ أَهْلِهِ وَحَكَمًا مِنْ أَهْلِهِ. Now you bring in from her family somebody and you bring in somebody. How many steps Islam is taking to make the home? Islam does not want to break the home. Four steps. First step, then you give talaq if things don't work out. How many talaq? One talaq. A lady who wears jeans, she wears the top and pant and this. It shows you are suffering from a complex. What is a complex? West is the best. White is right. Hollywood, Bollywood captures my mind. I want to leave the world of reality. I want to live in the world of fantasy. So that is what you are showing with the dress. And what Islam said? Islam said you must influence others and not get influenced. You, my sister, listen. Now, I can't remember, so you know we travel here. I think I told you this. Steve was sitting here in the plane, myself and my wife. So we're going from Johannesburg to Ndola, Zambia. Now this year. So I told Steve, Steve, you're right. You know, people, they think maybe we're terrorists and all these things here. He said, no, I'm all right. So they said, all right. I said, Steve, we have to speak. We can't sit quiet here, you know. So you want to speak? He said, yeah. I said, what do you want to speak? He said, let's talk of religion. I said, all right. I say, his name is Steve. I say, Steve, you believe in Adam and Eve or you believe in Adam and Steve? You see, in South Africa, you can get married Adam and Eve, man and woman. In South Africa, you can get married Adam and Steve. It depends in the parliament. They say it's progress. Men get married to men, women get married to women. The judge in the constitutional court, he say he's gay. But he's a judge in the constitutional court. So you must remember. So he said, no. Me, I don't accept Adam and Steve. I accept Adam and Eve. I say, I'm already halfway Muslim you are now. So I say, now you ask. So he point like this. Why your wife, she wear all this hijab and she cover face and all that? So I told him, Steve, my name AK. You Steve. You just call me AK, fine. But you must be honest to me, Steve. He said, 100% AK, I'm honest with you. I say there's 36 passengers in this plane. 18 men, 18 women, we say. Is that right? He said, okay. I say, Steve, you can't speak Quran, Hadith, you have to speak logic. I say, Steve, from a logical point of view, my wife, is she a better role model? Will she instill character, manners in the children? Or these ladies here, who are half naked, half dressed and all that, from a logical point of view, who's a better role model and example? So he himself, he point like this, your wife. So you must see. So Islam is, we must never apologize for Islam. Don't suffer from a complex. You, my sister, must be the one who influences others, not get influenced in the process.
Should we believe in wearing a taweez for protection against nazar, etc.?
Remember, the biggest taweez is the dua, ruqya. Read and blow on the children. That is biggest one. Are we like shortcut? Just put something and finish. No. Read and blow.
Are we allowed to insure our cars? If so, when we get the money, are we allowed to use it for something else and not fix our accidental car?
I see, mashallah, I just looked at this question. I see they got Malawi Sun Hotel. I say, it's a kamal kariya. That even the question, they took the paper of the hotel and they wrote and they sent it forward. So it's very good that, mashallah, Allah reward the brothers here who arranged this program. So we're sitting in a very nice hotel and everything here, nice venue. Insurance, if you already in it, you put 10,000, 100,000, whatever, you got accident and you claim the amount you have put in, totally permissible. You claim more than that, then that is not permissible. So that is what we must remember. Now what the shaitan does? Shaitan, he plays the game, mind game. You see, Pata Ushyar Maru, we are all very intelligent people. Let us pay for 1 year, 2 years, when we got the claim, so now we claim for this past 5 years and we claim for the next 2 years also. We inflate the claim. You know what I'm talking about. So there's a bump at the back and a bump at the front. We will say, nah, the car came in the front and then it came in the back. So this type of thing there. So like that. So therefore Islam don't allow all these things here. We must be honest.
Can a human being curse another human being? And if he does, what is the solution to it?
No, you can't do that. You can't curse people like that.
If a man has more than one wife, how does he handle the AIDS situation in terms of HIV testing or VCT? How would you approach the wives, and what is your comments? Because very little information is flowing within the Muslim community.
We must remember this, that never will a person get AIDS if he got one wife, two wives, three wives or four wives and he remains loyal to them. You go ask any country, any doctor, any person, any country. In Muslim countries who look at the AIDS and come to non-Muslim countries, South Africa, 20% of the women are HIV positive. 20%, some even go more. I'm giving a conservative estimate. So when you speak of AIDS, it can be many causes, but the greatest cause is that you have multiple partners. So one day here. So you understand Islam. I give you another one, two things. In Cape Town, my country, South Africa, Cape Town, the rate ratio for one male is 8 females. Go to Swaziland, for one male, there are 14 to 13 females. In Swaziland, you can marry legally. In Swaziland, you can marry legally one male, 8 wives. So the king decided if the ordinary mortal can take 8 wives, the aupatro ganigana. So he took 15. So you must remember. So the point I'm making is this. You must remember, we need to distinguish between the two. Where there is vice and we need to prevent A, B, C, A, abstain, B, be blissful in marriage, and C, compromise, we don't agree with C. We say A, abstain, B, blissful in marriage, fine. But this quantum business, we don't agree. Take a quantum and put everywhere and give everybody free of charge. You don't have. When you want to solve a problem in Islam, you don't go to the fruits, you go to the roots. وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الزِّنَا. Don't even go near fornication. That is what Islam says. You see a non-Muslim lady, she comes, you know, it's an Islam. So they come there sometime. In non-Muslim culture, first thing the non-Muslim lady will do, how are you, sir? Now, when the lady come, our hand go in the pocket, Muslim. So they think for real, these people, they come from outer space, they're aliens, they're paid, you know. So why do you want to take out his hands? So we say, now sit here, we talk. I say, you see, Islam, we don't allow physical contact with the opposite gender. If it's our wife, our sister, mother, no problem. But you, total stranger. Now why Islam didn't allow physical contact with the opposite gender? ذَلِكُمْ أَطْهَرُ لِقُلُوبِكُمْ وَقُلُوبِهِمْ. Islam says this is purer for my heart and is purer for your heart. Now compare, I shook your hand, I smile, you smile. You know I told you smiling is contagious. Our eyes meet, eye contact, then I take out my business card. Oh ma'am, take here my cell phone. Then we can share a cup of coffee.